just as we heard before. We ask it in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for leading us, Dustin. If you're here and you're going to Kids Rock, our children, you meet Miss Joy right back here. And you guys will go, our children go and get in the Word themselves and sing to the Lord. Children are welcome to stay in here as well if you'd rather them be with you as a parent. That is fine. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. So, welcome to Eastside. I'm excited to get in the Word with you this morning. I hope you are too. Man, God's Word is powerful, isn't it? He uses His Word to tell us of what He's done for us in His Son Jesus. Just how great that victory was when He walked out of the grave. And what that means for us. And one of the things it means for us is that He is building for Himself His church. Now, there's a lot of opinions about the church today, right? You've heard them. You've heard the opinions that go like something like this. You need to be in church this Sunday. Where you been, right? You may have said that, right? I've said that. Come on back. Come be with us, right? You've also heard opinions that go something like this. The church is full of nothing but hypocrites. I'm not going, right? You've heard other opinions about the church. All they want is money. You've other heard other opinions about church. I don't need church. Me and God got our own thing going, right? You've heard that before? Heard all kinds of things about the church, right? But really, I'm not really interested in any of those things today. What we need to be interested in, and encourage other people to be interested in, is what does God say about His church? So for the next 3 weeks, including today, so today and the next Sunday and the following Sunday after that, we're going to be diving into the Word. We're going to try to answer some questions about the church. Namely, what is the church and what is the church supposed to be doing? Okay, so that's where we're going to start today. That's where we're going to be going. There's a lot of things to be taught and said about the church. We're not going to touch on all of them. There's no way. We'd have to have like a 12-week sermon series to do that. We may one day. We're not right now. Okay? So, if you're wondering some of those things, like, what is the church really? Like, I've been involved with the church my whole life, but I can't really put my finger on what it's supposed to be. Or maybe you can't really put your finger on what the church is supposed to be doing. What are we supposed to prioritize as the church? Is the church building or is it something else? Or maybe you've been working on some people in your life, maybe some family members or neighbors, and you hear some of those things coming from them, and you don't know how to answer those things. My prayer for us this week is that the Lord would use His Word in our lives to, one, to make us more like Him, but two, also to help us maybe answer some of those questions if you're wrestling with those questions yourself, or maybe help somebody else wrestle with the answers to those questions, because as a result of our time together in the Word, maybe you'll be able to answer them a little bit better. Okay? So you ready to get in the Word? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, first and foremost, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that though we were dead in our transgressions, though we were weak, we were your enemies, we were sin, in bondage, slavery to our sin. We didn't deserve you to do anything for us, but you sent your Son to put on flesh and to live a perfect life that you had called us to live. You did that even though we had not. And you sent him to the cross to pay our debt. What we had earned with our sin was death, and Jesus paid it for us on the cross. Father, thank you for that, and thank you for his resurrection, that he is alive and reigning today, and we can call upon him for salvation and for so many other things, all of our burdens and cares and anxieties. Thank you for that. Thank you that we can gather and worship freely today. Thank you that we can open your Word and answer questions that we might have today, that our friends or neighbors might have today. God, we pray that you would use our time in your Word to make us more like you, and also to just if there's any among us today or listening to us today, that if they don't know you, Lord, that they would realize what you've done for them and that they would turn to you in repentance and belief today. And God, we just pray that you work in a mighty way, in a way that only you can. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes, Father. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 15. We are going to start here. We are not going to stay here, but we are going to start here today. So read with me verses 1 through 7. It's a familiar passage for many of us. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him," that is Jesus. "And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So Jesus told them a parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." This was the first of three parables that Jesus told within earshot of those highly religious people that were grumbling that he would meet and eat with sinners. The question is this: if you had 100 sheep and one of them was lost, would you not go get him? And when you found him, would you not rejoice? Because when one sinner repents, that's precisely what heaven does, is rejoice over one sinner who repents. Then we keep reading. Jesus continues, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." You think Jesus is trying to make a point here? Yeah. So they're mad that he's eating with some sinners. They're mad about it. Yet they're the religious people that are supposed to be seeking out the lost. So Jesus tells them, again, in a different parable, that even when one sinner repents and is saved and is rescued by God from their sin, all of heaven rejoices. This is the time he says, the angels before God rejoice. And then Jesus just keeps on going. Verse 11, it says, "And he said, 'There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. Before he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, or as the angels do in heaven, rejoice. For your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It doesn't say Jesus explained the parable this time. He doesn't say at the end of this parable that in heaven, even when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. The point was made by then. He's given three different parables. A sheep was lost, the shepherd rejoiced. A coin was lost, the woman rejoiced. A son was lost and found. Each of those things were found. And the father rejoiced in spite of how lost he was. It's a question for us that lies before us today. And this passage doesn't necessarily answer it directly, but it points to the answer. What is the church? The church is the people that God has rescued. The people that were dead but are now alive because God has called them to himself and they have responded in repentance and faith. What is the church? The church is the people who were lost but have been found. That is what the church is. Is it a building? No. Is it a group of people that have been saved by God's grace? Yes. We were the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But praise God, we were dead, now we're alive. We were lost, and we have been found. So here's the question that begs of you as an individual this morning. Are you part of the church? Have you come to a place where you've realized that God has been seeking you out and you've stopped living life your way? You've turned to him and said, Jesus, I will follow you. I believe in your life, death, and resurrection, and he saved you. Have you come to that point in your life? If you have, you are part of his church. If you have not, then you can be. And there's not a list of things to be done by you to become part of his church. It's simply this. He has sought you out. He sent his son to this earth to live a perfect life that you didn't live, to die on the cross that you deserved, and to raise victoriously over sin and death so that you might place faith in him and have life eternally. All he's calling you to do is turn from living life your way to him and believe, and he will save you, and you will be part of his church. If that's you today, I'm going to tell you what I told you at the beginning of the service. As we sing our last song today, you can come forward and we will sit down with you and show you what it means. It won't be out in public. You won't be embarrassed. We'll sit down with you in private and show you what it means to place faith in Jesus and be saved today. You can wait till after the service and come find me or Pastor Robbie or Dustin or somebody else that you know knows the Lord, and they can show you. I can show you. We can show you what it means to be saved today, to be part of His church today. I'm not talking about Eastside. I'm talking about His church for all time. Then and now and everywhere. Today can be the day of salvation for you. And I hope it is. I hope it is. Brings us to another question. What is the church supposed to do? And we'll be answering this question a couple more ways over the next couple weeks. But this is the most obvious thing we can do in response to a God who saves us when we don't deserve it. I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture to you. Answering the question is, what is the church supposed to do? What are the people that God has rescued supposed to do? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. In speaking about the people that God has rescued, Paul instructs them in some things that they are supposed to be doing on the regular. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. He says several things, but one of these things is singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankfulness in your heart. He doesn't say, if you worship God with song, you'll get this or this will happen. He just says, one of the things you're supposed to be doing is worshiping God through song. Sing to Him. Ephesians 1, verse 12 says this, in Him we, the church, have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. So what is one of the things the church is supposed to be doing? Colossians tells us singing. Ephesians 1:12 tells us we are supposed to just be, live to the praise of His glory. Worship Him. The Old Testament is filled with God's people, the people that have been rescued by Him, gathering and doing what? Worshiping Him. And they worship Him in a host of different ways. But one of the ways they worship Him is singing and praying. And in the Old Testament, offering physical sacrifices to Him. Then we look at the New Testament after Jesus has come and lived perfect life and died a death on the cross in our place and rose victoriously out of the grave. What do we see God's people then doing over and over again? They gather, they pray, and they sing all over the New Testament. We get to the end of the Bible and we look to what God is going to do in the future in the book of Revelation. And what do we see God's people doing in the book of Revelation? Gathering and worshiping. Front to back, the people who are rescued by God, one of the things that they do naturally and that they are supposed to do is to gather and worship Him. Wayne Grudem, a theologian, a Baptist theologian, says this, God's people are supposed to minister upward. We minister to one another, but we're supposed to minister upward. We are supposed to serve our Lord, sing to our Lord, pray to Him, praise His name. It's one of the things we're supposed to do. It's one of the things we see happen throughout God's Word by the people who are rescued by Him. We have been rescued by Him, so we are supposed to worship Him. Do you see it? So, what is the church? The church is the people who God has rescued through life, death, and resurrection of His Son. Have you placed faith in Jesus? Are you part of the church? If not, you can be today. What is the church supposed to be doing? Chief among many things is to worship God, sing to Him, praise His glorious name, together and as individuals. So guess what we're going to do as we close our time together today? We're going to stand and sing. We're going to sing to Jesus. We're going to sing a familiar song, Glorify Thy Name. And we're going to sing. If you're a Christian here, I want to invite you just to sing. Sing to Jesus. He is awesome and glorious. Sometimes we think of worship as being a means to end, like we worship to prepare to hear the word, or we worship to get closer to God, or we worship because we've had a bad day. And worship does, God does use worship in our lives in all those situations. But the church isn't supposed to worship as a means to an end. We're just supposed to worship because that is a natural response to a God who has saved us. So let's worship today. Maybe you have burdens on your back that you need to lay down, or things you just need to pray about this morning. You can pray in your pew, worship God that way. You can come forward and pray. If you need to give your life to Jesus today, you can come forward and we'll walk you through what that means today. However the Spirit's leading you to respond today, we pray that you respond that way. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for saving us, God. That we were like that lost sheep and you sought us out. We were like that lost coin and you searched. We were like that lost son, and when we came, when we finally came to you, you brought us in. And you poured out your grace and your mercy all over us so we didn't deserve it. God, thank you for that. God, thank you that we have a reason to worship you because of what you've done in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you that we have a reason to worship you simply because of who you are. And God, I pray that as a body of believers here today that we would. And Lord, we pray that if there's somebody that isn't a part of your church yet, that they would be before this day is over. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together.